Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tough task. I got to give it out to the Peter DeBoer, though. That huge comeback this last year. I mean, there were some phenomenal moments for the Sharks. And so I just think that his comebacks were kind of, I don't know, that's kind of the underdog dark horse for me.
All right. Well, we do have best comeback coming up later on, and I think we'll have the opportunity, if I could maybe look down the line here, maybe an opportunity. We're going Steve Kerr, by the way. Congratulations to Steve Kerr. With the best.
Congratulations.
There you go, Bay Area Sports Coach of the Year, Steve Kerr. Congratulations. All right, next column in our Best Bees, the next category, Best Moment in Sports of the Year. Had a lot of them this year. You mentioned the comeback for the Sharks, Clay shooting those free throws, Mark Canha's big home run against the Giants in the Battle of the Bay. But y'all, Game 6, Houston, come on. Warriors, count it out. They don't have KD. The game in 6 in Houston is a foregone conclusion. They're playing for game 7. Somebody forgot to tell the Warriors that it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to lose game 6. They went into Houston and messed around and won that game. Butch, you and I were here that night at the station. That was incredible.
Oh, it was an absolutely incredible game. It's one of those, the back and forth of the emotional roller coaster for that was pretty incredible. For me, though, I want to give baseball some love here. So I'm going to go with Mark Canha because this is a San Jose native, Bellarmine boy, playing at AT&T at the time Park with the A's against the Giants. You had both fan bases that were going kind of crazy at the time. The A's were just starting to go on their run, and he hits a Friday night home run like 30 rows up. And for me, I just felt like that was one of the best moments of the entire baseball season. I can make an argument for McCutcheon against the Dodgers, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
But the way the Giants kind of flamed out after that, and what the A's did after that home run.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to go with Mark Canha because I think everybody else is probably going to go with maybe something a little more Sharks or Warriors playoff related.
All right, what do you think, Lo?
That game 6, like you guys alluded to, KD goes down, and you heard that place, how quiet it got. Once KD gets hurt, it's so quiet in that stadium that you saw, looked over in the corner, and you heard a mouse pissing on a sponge. That's how quiet it got in there. But I like that game. But how much is it that we believe that KD's out, and all of a sudden our heart just said, oh, my God, it's over, and we're like, the Warriors are going to lose this game. But don't forget, you still had Clay, you still had Steph, you still had Draymond, you still had Iggy. And we just automatically, because we know what kind of superstar KD is, everyone just said, it's over. Okay, and so the Warriors battled. The game was exciting. So I did like that one. But for me, guys, it's Klay Thompson shooting those free throws. Name me a guy. Watch sports. This moment that Klay did, even though they lost that game, they win that game, in my opinion. But he walks back on the field, on the court with a torn ACL, a jacked up knee. I'm telling you, there is not a lot of professional athletes in any sport that would have went out there. They would have been, and he knew his knee was gone. And the guy goes out there and friggin' still shoots two free throws and then runs back down the court and plays defense. Let me tell you, I got chills. I darn near cried. I watched a guy going out there on a blown out knee. Okay, he runs in the house, comes halfway down the hallway. They're bringing him in. The friggin' guy says, I'm going back out there because why? I'm going to stay in this game and tell Steve Kerr I'll be back. Man, that moment right there for me, hands down.
With all due respect, and I appreciate everything you're saying, and this is not a knock on Klay Thompson in any way, shape, or form. I love that man, and that was heroic. That was reckless by the Warriors training staff. Why would you do that? Why would you let the guy go back out onto the floor?
No, that's
where you need to save the player from themselves. You need to stop him and say, could you imagine if he's backpedaling and he makes it even worse, then he tears his PCL and his MCL on top of it? He could have made that injury exponentially worse. He's already got a torn ACL. You know the knee's jacked. He knew the knee was jacked. Everybody knew it was jacked. Get him out of the game. The fact that they let him go back in there to shoot those two free throws, why? He's not coming back. Let somebody else shoot the free throws.
Because he wanted to.
But you have the
his body.
Well, I understand that. But on the heels of Kevin Durant already rupturing his Achilles tendon, which had happened, 2 days earlier? And then now you're going to let Clay go back out there and run the floor with a torn ACL? It's reckless to me.
But they also didn't know the extent of his injury at that
point. They knew it was bad.
But remember last year against the Cavaliers when he went down, we thought it was a lot worse. And all of a sudden it came back in with J.R. Smith. So that goes to show you that maybe it wasn't as bad as we all thought. I honestly thought, okay, maybe it was just a sprain or something, you know, maybe tweaked his ankle or something. I knew it was for the ankle, obviously, but maybe not as bad. But I can't completely blame the Warriors staff. The fact that they called a timeout right after he started running, that's where I think the Warriors staff came.
It's not February 15th. It was game 6 of the NBA Finals.
So we're putting winning ahead of player safety?
Yes! Context matters. No. That's why Kirk Gibson is immortalized, because he took a shot before a game and then hit a home run off Tony La Russa. Like, that is part of it. Like, part of the lore of sports. We glorify, you know, Willis Reed. Willis Reed played like 6 seconds in that game.
Right.
You know, Klay Thompson wanted to sacrifice it. It's his choice. It's his body. I have no issue with it.
Yeah, Kirk Gibson was 30 years ago. We know so much more about player safety now and what's best for the athlete, and sometimes, not letting a guy do what he wants to do in a moment of impulsivity, in a moment of emotion, in the best, in long term, is the best thing for Klay Thompson. I thought that was reckless and irresponsible.
I totally understand what you're saying. And in hindsight, it's 2020. Absolutely, it was. But at the time that he goes out there and does that, and the crowd goes crazy.
Oh,
he runs back. It was
a great moment.
And that's why we're giving out these awards now. Now what you know. Now, after
armed with the results,
now you should be like, hands down, it's reckless. Yeah, now you should be like all over this, bro. You should be like, damn, that was gangster. Yeah, especially now you know that it was totally torn and he went out there. My goodness, it should be a landslide. How dare you guys even think about picking something else?
Right, and a lot of people coming down my road on the Chilton Autobody text line. Look, man, you have to protect players from themselves sometimes, okay? And it was clear something was wrong. Something was very wrong with Klay Thompson. We saw how he landed right there. The knee buckled, and clearly he needed medical treatment at that time. He didn't need to be shooting free throws. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think if it's February or March, I agree with you. But it's game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Look, think about what Andre Iguodala just said a couple of weeks ago about the Warriors training staff and the bone bruise versus he said that it was fractured. Kevin Durant went out there and ruptured his Achilles tendon. You think Kevin Durant should have been playing basketball? I'm just saying.
Kawhi Leonard chose to not play because he didn't trust the Spurs, and it worked out for him. These guys, you're giving them no culpability whatsoever. Like, they have a say in this, Lo, don't they?
They have a say, but I'm with Covey. I think you do got to protect guys from themselves. I've been out there, and I've seen it firsthand where coaches and staff, sometimes they get in a moment, and they're like, this dude's Superman. Because you're used to seeing guys get a Toradol and get the shot. I mean, I was getting Toradol shot in the neck, all the different things you do get, the things you do, because that's what we do. We go. And sometimes you do got to have someone step in and be an advocate, just like with your kids. You're an advocate for your kids. You take care of them because you love them. You take care of them. So you do have to step in sometimes, because sometimes athletes will go when they shouldn't go. I do believe that, but I believe this particular moment when this guy goes just to shoot 2-3 free throws, I didn't see that being necessarily all that reckless, because right afterwards they call timeout immediately.
After he ran down the floor.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Were you ever protected from yourself by a training staff?
I was in San Diego, and James Collins said, no, you're not playing. I tried to go
back
in the game. I got hit, knocked out, and surprised he doesn't get the drop. Steven and those guys, they always want to play the drop. Anna's always laughing. Against the Raiders, Cat hit me sideways. Boom, I was out. And, you know, get to the sideline, smell a little of this stuff. And, you know, pneumonia, and you want to go back. He's like, dude, give me your helmet.
This is kind of a sad story, but.
I've seen guys, and you know what? It's Chris Dillman, offensive guard, friggin'
for the 49ers.
Yeah, Chris Dahlman, yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, Chris Dillman.
Oh, okay.
Dillman.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Played with me, not Spillman. He played with me in San Diego too.
And not Chris Dolman, the pass rusher for the Vikings.
Yeah, Dolman was a bad boy.
Yeah, he was.
Yes,
and
he was.
Same thing. Gets knocked out, goes back in. We get on the plane. He's throwing up at 30,000 feet, having a seizure. I mean, sometimes, guys, you do have to protect guys from themselves. So I've seen it happen on both sides of the equation. And you got to realize, all of our lives, we've been told, hey, you get hit. You guys play football. You get to see the little stars, and you get to, and you just boom. You keep going because that's what we've been accustomed to.
What about the situation where LT's on the sidelines, got the helmet on? He's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Did he take himself out of that game, or did the training staff take him out of that game?
He took himself. He took himself out. His knee was, and he got so much flack from that.
I remember that
hurt him so bad.
Yeah.
As a person, the guy's going out there with his torn, slightly torn meniscus, and
carrying that team for years,
for
too.
Years, yeah. And goes out there, and everyone's saying he quit on the team. No, and they're talking about Phillip Rivers because he came back from the knee injury. It's like he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
He doesn't have LT is a running back, and that was just it was tough to watch LT, the things that he had to go through and suffer after that. So people are sometimes they're cruel,
no doubt about
people
that.
Are cruel,
yeah.
Can we hand out the award? Let's go. I a lot of people testing
say?
In on this as well.
Yeah,
what did you say?
Game
what was
six,
your decision?
Game six in Houston.
Really?
And absolutely.
Am I the only one who thought the game seven with the Sharks was one of the best sports moments I've ever seen? Honestly, you have the captain, Joe Pavelski, go down. They come back to score four goals in 5 minutes.
The only reason that I will, and we got that on the category. Just bear with me.
I'm just shocked.
But the only
game
reason
six
it should not have been a major penalty. That takes a little bit away from me because, and I'm a diehard Sharks fan. Mm-hmm. The Vegas Golden Knights got hosed in that situation. Now, kill a 5-minute major and you're going on. I understand that, but they got hosed. Now, best moment in the year in sports in the Bay Area, game six in Houston, Golden State Warriors closing out the Houston Rockets and taking their soul in the process.
You did it! Congratulations!
There you go. Golden State Warriors, game six. That
you
was
killed Houston in that game.
They did. I mean, think about it. Chris Paul and James Harden, they still haven't recovered. Daryl Morey, I don't think he's slept since.
No.
They're trying to trade half their damn team. Anybody want Clint Capella?
Right.
Anybody want the tuck wagon?
Right.
They will move that entire roster now, heaven and earth, to try and get some change in there because they know
broken.
It's never going to work because the Golden State Warriors took their soul. All right, next up on the list, guys, this is a great one. Best breakthrough athlete here in the Bay Area. We had some great performances this past season. The three names that we whittled it down to, Kevon Looney for the Golden State Warriors, who's made himself an irreplaceable piece in this rotation. Got a 3-year, $15 million contract extension this offseason. Matt Chapman, one of the up-and-coming stars in Major League Baseball. Got a glove that just won't quit. Can mash as well. And then how about the kid, George Stone Cold Kittle, set a record for most receiving yards for a tight end in an NFL season. Those are our three candidates. Let's start with you, Anna. Kevon Looney, Matt Chapman, George Kittle. Who you got?
These are all good.
You got the Sharks again? You got the Sharks against
Vegas,
right? Again?
I know. I was like sitting there thinking. I'm like, I'm repping the Sharks today, it sounds like.
Good for you, though.
Man, Kevon Looney has been great to come out after 3 years, not sure if he was even going to be a factor on this team, and then all of a sudden to come out with his shoulder, I mean, the shoulder injury,
amazing.
Whatever chest, whatever year that was. Matt Chapman, he came out and got the Platinum Award. Just stellar defense, but I got to give it to George Kittle. I mean, such an amazing year, and he was the bright side for the 49ers offense this last year, and he is something really special to look forward to. The kind of numbers that he puts out, that he put together this last season was spectacular, so I got to go with George Kittle.
Low?
She's right. It's Kittle. Looney, and that's a guy I've been wanting to get paid. I finally got, a little bit of change, 3-year, $15 million. His heart. If you said who's got the biggest heart on this list, Looney by landslide. The guy goes out there and plays with a broken chest, and he's still out there making it happen. It was un-freaking believable. But George Kittle, guys, none of these guys, Looney, Matt, are they the best in their sport? Are they the best? Here's a guy that come onto the scene, and he darn near maybe the best tight end in the league. Oh, no, we got Kelsey over there in Kansas City. I get that. But what Kittle has done, hey, diddle, diddle, Kittle down the middle. Kittle, he's a game changer. The guy can run. If he's even, he's leaving. He's too strong. He's too fast for linebackers. He's too strong for safeties. I love the guy. I love him a lot. It's Kittle.
Yeah, I want to make an argument for Matt Chapman.
Please, yeah, here we
I
go.
Want, please, I want to make, but I can't. I can't. Okay. Because I honestly, like, Chapman's a great player.
Chapman's great.
I mean, he's unbelievable. He's up and coming. Obviously, I think led all of baseball in extra base hits after the second half.
So let me get this straight.
Gold Glover. I mean, he's a monster. But it's George Kittle. Like, it's George Kittle. Seeing what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo when he went down week three, seeing where this team was, the quarterbacks that he had to play with. Right. I also understand the context of his stats. He's not going to put up 1,300 yards this year. That's to me. Night. They force-fed him second half of games when they were down big. Now, he's not going to have those numbers, but the inline blocking, the ability to find the seam, to find the soft spot in the coverage on third down, to be the number one target for a rookie in Nick Mullins. I mean, George Kittle's a monster. The other part is I didn't realize you brought up his athleticism. The dude is a freak athlete. Freak athlete. And he was going up against defensive ends. There were times I saw him paired up against Aaron Donald when Donald would switch over to the end. And he's holding his own against probably the best defensive lineman in the game right now outside of Khalil Mack. So I got to go with George Kittle here. And like you said, he's one of the top two or three tight ends in the game right now.
All right, and by the way, George Kittle jumped up from 515 receiving yards to 1,377, went from 43 catches to 88. Ladies and gentlemen, congratulations, George Kittle. We go to George Kittle now. Here's what he had to say.
But today, I'm the greatest of all time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ricky.
Back in the day.
Thanks, Ricky.
By the way, Chill Not My Text Line thinks that it's just me saying, no, it's this player, that player. We voted before the show. We already know who the winners are. We're just having a debate here. So it's like, oh, it's getting to Covey now. So it's George Kittle. No, we voted on this. All right. Best comeback of the year. Let's just get right to it. It's your moment to shine. I mean, it was the Sharks Game 7 comeback against the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
100%. Game 7, that is one of the most spectacular games I've ever seen. In a matter of 5 minutes, everything changed. Like I said, Captain Joe Pavelski goes down. You think the Sharks are completely done, but no. They come back in a spectacular fashion. That's my word of the day today. They come back and just win it all. And that was probably one of the greatest games I've ever seen.
Yeah, beating those goons that were the Las Vegas Golden Knights. It was a bad call, but it was a great moment. Butch was doing a show with me that night. That was crazy because it looked all hope was lost, and then it wasn't.
You guys didn't think the best comeback story in the Bay Area was Hunter Pence and his revival somehow with the Texas Rangers?
Yeah.
You're not a little skeptical?
Well,
somebody needs to look into that.
Uh-oh.
It was from last season, by the way. So maybe next year Hunter Pence could win.
Well, maybe one of these 7,000 journalists for The Athletic can actually do their job and dig into something and we can get some history on this
one. He worked on a swing in the DR.
All right.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Magically, late in his 30s?
What are you
interesting.
Trying to say?
Yeah, I'm
not saying anything. I'm just saying.
All right.
Someone should look into it.
Congratulations to the San Jose Sharks and their Game 7 comeback against the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Hey,
all right. We got two more to get to.
Hey.
Best female athlete. How about Alex frickin' Morgan and the United States women's soccer team for winning another World Cup? 8 World Cups have been played by the females. 4 have been won by the United States. That was amazing.
And her IG account has been on fire the last couple of days. I mean, come on. This is a unanimous decision. Knockout in the first round.
Yeah. Alex Morgan across the board.
Yeah, 100%.
Just her and Kittle, those two were just a slam dunk.
Yeah, for sure. All right, here you go.
I just have the good news for you that you won the contest.
There you go. So former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger congratulating Alex Morgan in a very special moment. All right, finally, best male athlete in the Bay Area. The 3 finalists for this award were George Kittle, Matt Chapman, and some dude named Steph Curry. Let's start with you, Lo. Who you got?
Kittle.
Stone Cold Kittle?
It's Kittle. Steph, you know, he's MVP. The guy is amazing. Best 3-point shooter the game has ever seen. But if you're just talking about this year, for me, it's George Kittle.
You know, I almost want to write in the whole Klay Thompson thing after the comeback, after the big tunnel return and everything. I'd kind of want him as my write-in candidate.
Right,
also,
man.
I'm a nice little, Claytheist. I'd take the Matt Kolsky coin to that segment. But I'm going to go with Steph Curry just because he's been such a leader on this team.
As much as I want to give it to Max Muncy for what he said to Madison Bumgarner after putting the ball in the splash area, I'm going to have to go with Steph Curry. You guys are ridiculous. Steph Curry has put himself at the top of the Bay Area hierarchy.
I said Steph. I did say Steph. I said as much as I'd like
to. You can't hedge. You pick. It's an award show.
I could do that if I want to.
Anna, come
welcome
on.
To the morning.
So you're taking Steph Curry.
Yes, I'll take Steph Curry.
Okay, good, good. Because it's
Steph
Curry.
We're on a radio show. We need to talk for a little bit.
I know, but it's Steph Curry. It's not even close. Steph Curry. Why? Because he's got three championships, and he dragged the carcass of the Warriors all the way to the finals, to the final absolute step of winning a championship. That's why. Because it's the one sport where both sides of the Bay unite to root for one team.
Agreed.
Whereas every other sport, we're divided. You're either an A's or a Raider fan or a Niner and a Giants fan. So Steph brings everyone together. He's Mr. Inclusive. It's Steph for me. It's
Because he brings everyone together, that means he's the best athlete this year.
Well, look at his numbers. Look what he did.
Look at his numbers and compare them to Kittle's. So you want to sit and tell me
Kittle's team didn't even come close to getting to the playoffs.
Curry led his team to the finals.
Did he lead his team?
Yes.
He led him to the finals.
Yeah. They're missing Klay Thompson for two games. They're missing Kevin Durant for two full series. Yeah. He extinguished Houston in the second half of Game 5 and in Game 6.
I think that you look at what Klay Thompson, Klay Thompson scored over 37 points when he was getting hurt and all. I just think that George Kittle, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't give him a little bit more credit. I think as far as this year,
all right,
it's Kittle.
If you sniff 500, I'm willing to listen.
All right, we gave it up for George Kittle, but ladies and gentlemen, it's Steph Curry.
You did it! Congratulations!
All right, there you go. Those are your Bay Area Awards, and it's presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. He's still on Kittle. Here's Anna with what's coming up on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up today on The Game, our MLB insider, John Morosi, joins the morning show at 9.
You've got to start building the next group of position players for the Giants. I think that's one thing that they have been lacking.
Followed by former 49er Ian Williams at 9:30. On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
Geico presents.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, top of the morning, everybody. Appreciate you checking in. 7:33 in the a.m. It is Ryan Covey, Joe Shasky, and Lorenzo Neal, Anna Kagarakis, as well as everybody's rolling through that Bay Area morning traffic. Take her slow and easy out there. I think you probably have no choice in the matter. Congratulations to all our BESPY winners. It was hotly contested.
Kittle!
Still on Kittle. Coach of the Year, Steve Kerr. Best Moment, Game 6 in Houston. The Warriors win over the Rockets. Best Breakthrough Athlete,
Kittle!
There you go. Best Comeback, Sharks in Game 7 versus Vegas. Best Female Athlete, Alex Morgan. Best Male Athlete, Steph Curry. Not
Kittle!
All right. We have a little bit of breaking news for you in the NFL.
Breaking news.
And it has to do with one of those former squads, the San Diego Chargers.
LA.
Melvin Gordon.
They'll always
the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
Ah, I did it. Throw a flag. Damn it.
I was thinking,
because you played for the San Diego Chargers.
I know.
That's what got it in my head.
Right.
I haven't said San Diego Chargers in a long time.
They need to go back. I'm trying to work with them. I talked to Spanos.
Are you getting on that?
Yeah, so I know.
Chargers,
I'm really good friends with Ron Barbarian. He's married to Dia Spanos.
Hold that. Oh, you dropping names all over the place this morning.
Clean up.
Where's the name
in the studio?
Yeah, right below Lowe, right where his shirt was this morning.
Well, I'm Ron Barbarian, he has great wine. He has, down in also in Stockton, he has a Mercedes dealership down there. The Stockton family, they're from Stockton. No pop, Spanos very, very well. Good family. Dia and Ron and Barbarian and Aram is their son.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, Aram, he played great, hell of a golfer too. And my wife was actually their nanny. So she lived with them. So it's interesting that she was their nanny for Ron and Dia Spanos.
Is it interesting, though?
In Stockton.
Is it interesting?
Yeah, and then 20 years later, I end up playing for the team. So it's just, she was my biggest agent. So I've been knowing that family for years, even before I got to be a Charger. So, we'll try to see if I can make some calls and find out what's going on, guys.
Is this the breaking news, or should I get to it? Melvin Gordon
has said, yeah, this is per Adam Schefter. He said he wants a new contract or he will not report to training camp. He's in the last year of his contract, a fifth-year option. He's going to make $5.6 million this year. Now, we see this with running backs, and we see this across all sports and in the NFL, guys with not guaranteed contracts. You got to get that signing bonus. You got to get that money. I get it. Le'Veon Bell sat out all year last year. Todd Gurley, David Johnson, and most recently Le'Veon Bell with the Jets, they've all received new deals, and Gordon wants to be added to that list. Just before we delve into the merits of his request and just about Gordon as a back. Two Pro Bowls he's been voted to in his career. He's rushed for an average of 5.1 yards per carry, which is a stout number for a running back, and recorded 14 total touchdowns last year. Now, he's had some injury troubles throughout his career. He's missed a little bit of time. He was 17th in rushing yards in the NFL last year. Now, he's a dual threat back, catches a rock out of the backfield as well. 17th in the NFL in rushing last year. Year before that, he was 7th. And back in 2016, he was 13th. In his rookie year, guys, 14 games, averaged 3.5 yards a carry, and couldn't find the end zone in those 14 games. Did manage 5 fumbles. Since then, though, since he had a bit of fumble-itis his rookie year, he's only lost 2 fumbles since. He also, as I mentioned, catches the ball out of the backfield in his career, 33, 41, 58, and 50 catches per year. So right around an average of about 450 receiving yards on top of his rushing totals. And he's 26 years old. So this is his time to get paid, Lo.
It is, and he's a good back. The biggest question about him is durability. When he came out, you know, where was he at? Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Big Badger guy was Wisconsin. My buddy Corey Hall. Corey was coaching there. So me and Corey's great friends, and Corey was there in he talked about this young man, and I can get Corey on the phone. He's, you know, played at Fresno State, too. And
sure, let's get him on the line. Line two, Curly. Let's get him.
And we played with Cincinnati. So they played with the Bengals together, Corey and I. And he said this guy was going to be special. And I remember talking to Joseph that's usually in your seat. And he talked about how, you know, he asked me about him. I let him know, gave him the skinny. And the first year, he didn't come on the scene, and he didn't do what I expected him to do. Seemed a little timid at times, kind of injury prone. But now he has definitely turned into one of the better backs in the league. And I think L.A. uses him well. They don't overuse him, utilize him out of the backfield. The guy's a bell cow. I mean, he averages 5.1 yards a tote. Those numbers there, those numbers are pretty solid. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
5.1 yard a tote?
Yeah, they are. Let's spin it back to the Niners, right? Because this is where would the Niners or the Raiders be looking at this particular player? I don't think the Raiders would because they just got Jacobs in the first round. The 49ers, they're loaded with running backs. I wouldn't go after, you know, Gordon. Running back is a diluted position right now, especially in the marketplace. So there's no way in hell.
Whoa, time out. Wait, I can't let you. Okay, so. Please explain. Let's get a little bit in depth. When you're saying it's the diluted and it's not, you sound a little bit like a lot of guys that I know that they don't necessarily value the running back.
I love the running back position. But in Shanahan's system, he's going to utilize many backs, just like San Diego, a.k.a. the Los Angeles Chargers, do. They got Austin Eckler and they got Melvin Gordon. And they, like you said, they like to keep him fresh. They got Matt Breida. They got Tevin Coleman. Who knows what they're going to do with McKinnon? And they're also going to utilize Juszczyk out of the backfield as a guy who can just be a chess piece to move around. So I don't see the fit for either Bay Area team to make a deal for someone like Gordon. And I don't know many teams that are going to be willing to give something up for him.
Well, and I think we saw this last year with Le'Veon Bell, who's widely regarded as, maybe outside of Zeke, the best running back in the game. He's the dual threat. He's really the triple threat because he'll pass pro as well. And nobody was blowing down the Steelers' doors to acquire Le'Veon Bell last year either. And we know that he was being shopped around. So I think teams feel like, based on their salary cap constraints, they're only going to allocate so much towards the running back position. And I feel like a lot of GMs will tell you, you can get more bang for your buck, you know, on the lower tier and still get a guy that's serviceable. Maybe not elite, but if you want an elite running back, you have to use a massive chunk of your salary cap. And I think a lot of GMs would tell you they'd rather spend that money elsewhere because you can find not a like-for-like replacement, but something pretty close for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, and I totally understand what guys are saying, and I do understand how the league has gone. But I just think when you get a Le'Veon Bell, you don't find that.
But Gordon's
often.
Not Le'Veon Bell.
He's not.
Right.
And I don't think he should get that type of money. And nor do I think the Rams. I don't think that running back is Le'Veon Bell. You know, his knee injury.
Todd Gurley's got arthritis.
He don't run between the tackles well.
He doesn't, and he goes down. He's not strong. Ezekiel is a man child. You watch Ezekiel Elliott in the pass game.
My favorite running back in the game.
He blocks well. He picks up block. I'm with you. The guy,
he's
the best
running
back.
1 yard for my life, I'm giving it to Zeke.
I'm giving it to Zeke.
100%.
His heart is unbelievable. The guy's got a heart of a lion. He won't
miss. Great hands.
Great hands. Can run the screens. Can block linebackers. He is at every down back. And I like this kid. I love this kid, what the Giants got.
Barkley?
Barkley.
Yeah, he's a monster.
See, there's a lot of guys that are chain movers, and then there's game changers. He's a game changer. He is not, you get the guys 4 yards in a cloud of dust, chain mover. This, Ezekiel Elliott, Barkley, those guys are game changers.
Home run hitters.
And kid in L.A., he's in between that. But you get him out in open space, he can run.
Yeah.
You ain't catching him. He can run in between tackles. He can catch the ball. I just like to see him a little bit more durability. Should he get some more money? Yes. But do I put him in Le'Veon and put him with those guys, top five? No, I don't.
He's only played all 16 games once in his career.
Not durable.
And according to the report, that he either wants a new contract, he's not going to report to training camp if he doesn't get it, and will demand a trade. I don't see GMs, though, giving up a bunch of picks for Melvin Gordon. I just don't see it.
I mean, if people weren't going to do it last year for Le'Veon Bell, why would you do it this year for Gordon? Here's the bigger thing. Like, if I'm the 49ers, I need a short yardage back. I need a bruiser, a beast. Gordon is kind of a replication of what I already have. He's an outside guy who can throw the ball out in the swing passes, and I can throw those tosses and those misdirection plays. He's not necessarily a guy that I can bunch the formation and go get me that one tough yard.
He would be good in Shanahan's system, though.
He would.
He could catch the ball, but you're right. They got the backs are stacked here. He's not that hard. He's not a chain mover. He's a big home run guy in that sense. So, yeah, I don't think that the Niners would give up anything for him. But he would fit this system well.
But I think if you're the Raiders in this scenario, I was telling you guys before the season, the Chargers to me are the team that's most likely to drop down. I know everyone's looking at Kansas City to take a step down. For me, it's the Chargers. If Phillip has any misstep whatsoever, that organization is finished. And with this Gordon situation, that's a cloud that's going to be hovering over them. If I'm the Raiders, I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, and I think the Raiders have improved themselves, that whole roster, top to bottom. I mean, they addressed a lot of issues of need. The Raiders, I don't think it's just dead on the vine that they would be possibly interested in Melvin Gordon. I know you took Josh Jacobs, 19th overall. We'll see how he pans out. But outside of that, and I think we can all agree that most teams, you need, if you want to have success long-term in the NFL, you need to have two running backs that you can rely on, right?
Absolutely. New England theory.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Multiple. Even more. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's bulked up that room. Outside of Josh Jacobs, you got Jalen Richard, who, let's face it, if Jalen Richard was going to be an impact player in this league, we would have seen it by now. Same thing with DeAndre Washington. Doug Martin is 73 years old, and then you got Chris Warren. So, I honestly don't think it's likely, but if you look at Raiders or 49ers, I think the Raiders would make more sense, but also not very likely that the Chargers are going to deal him to a team in their own division.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
It's just tactical.
It's tactical. Here's a guy, they're going to get him paid. He's going to average probably $6 or $7 million a year. You can't pay him like Le'Veon. You're not going to give him that type of money. But he's a good back, and he's one of the better backs in the league. But yeah, the Raiders. I could see the Raiders would be more apt to getting him than San Francisco. But I like Jalen. I like Jalen. I think he catches the ball out of the backfield well. The guy has a lot of heart. Richard, that is. He's got a lot of heart. I like what he brings to the table.
$15 million for Todd Gurley. Lev's going to make $14.5 million, and then you get down to like the next tier.
$15 million for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, oof. That's all.
When he came into Levi's Stadium last year, he looked like an absolute monster. But they kept throwing that little sweet pitch to the outside, and he just cut back up. I mean, the dude was an absolute Adonis. But then, I don't know what happened to him during the regular season. The guy I saw in the playoffs was nowhere near that guy. He didn't want the smoke of the playoffs.
Yeah, that knee was just like, you're absolutely right. He turned it down, didn't have it. And that's the thing that you have to worry about. And you guys are right, to you guys' point, especially in running back position, you're getting hit every time you touch that rock. Yeah. And the durability and injury, knee injuries, all the things that surround running backs, it is best to probably do it by committee. And I'm one of those guys that I hate it that they've devalued the running back position. But it was great to see Ezekiel Elliott jump there and go to, you know, and Barkley. Those type of guys, they don't come around often. So when you do have that opportunity to grab those guys, you do grab them.
Well, and I think from just a pure business standpoint, I can understand where Melvin Gordon's coming from, because the NFL, by and large, has these players over a barrel. It's all about getting that fully guaranteed money. It's all about getting that signing bonus.
Yep.
He's 26 years old. This is his one opportunity to make that generational wealth. And when you see Todd Gurley getting peeled $14.3 million a year, Le'Veon Bell $13.1 million, David Johnson $13 million a year. Right. You talk about a guy that can't run in between the tackles. I mean, that's David Johnson.
I
needed more from David Johnson.
He's the biggest, in my opinion, out of all those backs that's getting paid, he's the biggest buzz. He shows me nothing.
He catches the walk out of the backfield.
You know who he reminds me of is Jamal Lewis. He got paid and he just quit emotionally.
Remember him?
Of course.
Baltimore Ravens, Jamal.
Set the rushing record for most rushing yards in a game.
Should have kept Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes.
That was my guy. Holmes was my guy.
Why are you bringing it today?
I love Priest Holmes.
Didn't Priest have the hip problem?
30 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, Priest was nasty with the Chiefs, man. But if you're Melvin Gordon, though, and you're looking at making $6.5 million next year, like you said, you think it'll be in the $7 million range? For Melvin Gordon, that's a non-starter. Devontae Freeman's making $8.2 million. If you're Melvin Gordon, you're looking at minimum 10, probably more like 11 or 12. He's going to be aiming for $12 million a year.
Yeah, you give him the signing bonus and how you structure it so his base, you know, be a little lower. I don't see, you only played one season, gave me 16 games. You haven't done that. The Raiders, you look at the Raiders, they used the first round pick to grab a running back, right?
Yeah, so, Josh Jacobs. One of their 9 first round picks this year.
Yeah, so I don't see it happen. In San Francisco, they just bolster their running back position, but you don't know if they have their guy for sure. The verdict is still out. So is he going to play this year? Is he willing to sit out the whole year?
Can the Chargers afford to let him sit out the year? You've got limited time left for Phillip Rivers in his career. The Chargers feel like if it's going to happen with Phillip Rivers, it needs to happen like now, Butch.
Well, and if you're Gordon, isn't the cautionary tale, look what happened with Le'Veon Bell sitting out and losing money?
He
lost out on money that he'll never be able to regain, which sucks because he's clearly an absolute stud. And he deserves the money, but unfortunately, it's market demand and supply. And there's just too much supply and not enough demand for him to get the money he's looking for.
Well, at the end of the day, Le'Veon Bell still got paid. And he took a year off to recuperate his body. I think it's not a great situation for him leaving Pittsburgh to go play for the Jets. But he lost out on some money. But when it was all said and done, did Le'Veon Bell get a long-term deal?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He got paid.
Yep.
So he reached his goal at the end of the day, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just going to be interesting to see does Melvin Gordon, is he in that caliber? Can he put himself in that sphere of backs?
Well, he obviously believes he's already there.
He does. But,
he's not.
But durability is everything. Availability is everything. And has he shown that when you look at Le'Veon and you look at these other guys, this guy's never finished in the top, Melvin Gordon's never finished in the top 5 rushing.
You're right.
Hasn't done it. So you look at it, and so, he can say, hey, I can, but we haven't seen it. Have you seen the guy play two seasons he's been in the league now, 5 years or 4 years?
This is his fifth season. This is his fifth year.
Has he went 2 seasons where he played all 16 games?
No, one time.
In
2017, he played all 16 games that year, 1,105 rushing yards, 476 receiving yards. So basically he's a 100-yard-a-game guy when he's healthy.
Yeah, so that right there. I'm telling you, I'd be very shocked if he got $10 million a year. I'd be very shocked. I just don't.
If you're the Chargers, though, and you have Super Bowl aspirations this year, whether they're realistic or not, that's another debate. But they have to feel like this is our window to win now. Phillip Rivers clearly on the back nine of his career, playing the final couple holes, if you will.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't. What are you going to roll into this season with Austin Eckler and pick up a couple guys off the scrap heap? Can you really afford to go that route if you're the Chargers?
Yeah, I don't know if you can really afford to. But is Melvin Gordon, you look at his numbers, is he – yeah, he's a big play guy. The guy's averaging 5.1 yards a tote. You need him in order to be successful, in order to play well. Phillip Rivers got to play better too. Phillip Rivers got to be more consistent.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers, he can turn it over at times. Sometimes he tries to do too much. at times, and sometimes he puts his team in, you know, at arm's length. So it's just going to be interesting to see how that team continues to develop, especially if they don't have their running back.
All right, well, we'll see how it all plays out. Melvin Gordon said he's going to get paid. This is just kind of how it goes in the NFL. If you want to get paid, you got to be willing to hold out, and apparently you got to be willing to sit out an entire season a la Le'Veon Bell. All right, one guy who might be traded in Gordon, do we know a player that's probably going to get dealt? We keep hearing about it, Butch. Madison Bumgarner. We know the Giants have been playing a little better lately, but they'd have to leapfrog 48 teams in order to make it to the wild card anyway. Madison Bumgarner has just been devalued the longer they've held on to this guy. It's like this precious chip that they keep waiting to play, but the longer you wait to play it, it loses its value every single day.
The ROI on whatever they're going to get is going to be so diminished. It's ridiculous. They should have traded the guy 2 years ago if they were going to do it, when his value was at an all-time high, when teams that would be acquiring him would have multiple years of service under contract. As it is right now, all these people who think we're going to get some top 20 prospect, you're delusional. You're absolutely delusional. You're going to get some combination of a bunch of throw-in prospects. I wouldn't move him. At this point, I think that that ship has sailed.
They missed their window.
Do
you think Forhan should have got rid of him right when he got here? Do you think Forhan should have just did it?
No, Bobby Evans should have got rid of him 2 years ago if they were going to make the move, but they didn't have the gumption. They didn't have the guts to actually do it because they thought that the fan base was too fragile to deal with the emotional loss of Madison Bumgarner. People were still angry that they traded away Matt Duffy because they liked his cat.
Skeeter!
I mean, you can't make moves based on the fan base. The fan base will get over it. If you win and you keep moving, this entire region,
they're down 6,000 by the way this year. That's what I think.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. Trust me, believe me, it's really bad this year. But I'm saying that this fan base in this area, we said goodbye to Ronnie Lott, to Jerry Rice, to Joe Montana. You could say goodbye to Madison Bumgarner, but the problem is that you've waited too long, and whatever you're going to get back is disproportionate to actually moving him. So keep him in the rotation. It's not like a quarterback where you only have one guy can play. It's a rotation. I need five guys. Does it look like the Giants have a five-man rotation right now?
No.
Right? So what's the point of moving him if I'm just going to get some low-level double-A prospect who's never going to come and contribute to help with the big club? I'm not in love with giving him a contract.
How do you handle it, Butch? We're just keeping him for the year?
Then give him
a long-term contract or let him hit the free market and get nothing? How do you handle it?
Well, so here's the thing. If he does,
he's going to be a free agent, right?
If he does, you get a compensation pick, which would be the back end of the first round, which I'm not in love with either because I just hate how Major League Baseball does. Like Joey Bart, we saw him a year ago taken. Right. We're never going to see this guy for like 2 or 3 years. It's ridiculous. So I would rather keep Bumgarner on the team, but it's the contract. Like, is he already – have you approached him? Do you know if the guy wants to sign a 3 or 4 year extension? Because if he's willing to go 3 or 4 years for, say, $20, $25 million a year, I'm willing to do it. Okay. Because I don't know if the market's going to actually give him that kind of money. We saw the kid, the lefty from Arizona, chase the money and go to the Nationals. How's that working out for them?
Yeah, for Corbin?
Not good. Right. And I don't know if Madison Bumgarner, like, we hold him in such high regard locally.
Right.
If you look at his regular seasons, his high watermark for wins is like 17 or 18 games.
Yeah, and if you want to go with the analytics, if you go war, 2015, 4.9, 2016, 5.0, and I know he's had some injuries, but 2.9 in 2017, 2.4 in 2018, 0.7 in 2019 for Madison Bumgarner. And if we're aware of this, you know GMs around baseball are aware of this. So, I mean, how much of a haul could you really get? I'll take the other side of this, though, for a moment. If you're a team that's maybe penciling that one-game wild card and you got one game to win, hard to find a better postseason pitcher in this era than Madison Bumgarner.
Agreed.
But you're not going to give up something of value for a guy to make a half dozen starts and then leave you in free agency. You would have to know on the front end, hey, we're going to keep this guy and we're going to find a way to sign him. Like, Atlanta would have been the perfect destination. He goes back home to the South. Atlanta needs a starting pitcher. But guess what? You waited too long, and then they went out and signed a starting pitcher in Dallas Keuchel. So,
do you think if you do trade him, the team that gets him, why not do the market? The market's shown that it's not been great for pitchers right now. I mean, the market's shown that it's not necessarily been great for
it. Kimbrel and Keuchel didn't even get signed.
Right. So it's how much of a chance is he going to come back? What's the market for Madison Bumgarner? You're right.
That's a great question. I don't know what it is. And I would look at a team like the Yankees with no Severino right now. Like, that would be a team that I'd be targeting. But the Yankees are shrewd business partners. They're not going to just give up Clint Frazier for Madison Bumgarner for six starts. Like that's not how baseball works these days.
Well, and I think what's good for the Giants in this respect and may drive up the price somewhat, there's a lot of teams in the hunt right now because of the second wild card spot. There's a lot of teams that, quote, feel like they're in it. Hell, it's probably not a logical discussion, but we're even discussing the notion of, are the Giants even in the race right now? So,
come on.
I get it. But, okay, how about this? Within 2.5 games, Pirates, Rockies, Cardinals, Padres, Diamondbacks, Brewers, and then the Phillies and the Nationals occupy the two wild card spots. In the American League, within 3 games, Rangers, Red Sox, A's, and then the Indians and the Rays are in those wild card spots. I mean, that's like 12 teams right there that feel like they're in the hunt, not to mention all the teams that are leading their respective divisions.
But some of these teams we know on the front end are not going to try to acquire Madison Bumgarner so that they can re-sign him. Like, we know for a fact, like, that's not the A's business model. That's definitely not the Texas Rangers business model.
They went out and got John Lester a couple years ago, the A's did.
And then let him walk in free agency.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
So, it'll be a rental situation. I don't think any team.
But that's.
And I get it. It'll hurt your return on investment. I get that.
Exactly. That's the point.
So the other side of it is get nothing?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Why you got to know whether you're going to re-sign him. Right. If he tells you on the front end, like, you haven't had these conversations, that's your job as the GM. Hey, Mad Bum, here's the deal we're willing to offer you. It's 3 years, 4 years, $175 million, somewhere in that window. If you're willing to take it, we're going to continue to play with you, and we're going to re-sign you. If not, then we got to get something back for you.
I don't think Madison's coming back, in my opinion.
Well, I
just think that he's, you know, Coach, I just think that here's a guy, when you think about what he's been through, is he going to say, man, I think that I should have been already paid. I've look what I've done. I know I signed that contract early and I got the extension, but have I not outplayed that? And now he took the gamble and he rolled. I think now he's in a situation to me that I just think he's going to try to hit the market, because I don't think he'll get he might think that there's more money elsewhere. He might end up being in San Francisco, but I don't think the San Francisco Giants are going to give him that big time deal that he thinks that he's going
to
get.
Well, and you got to also, we all need to keep in mind too, Bobby Evans ain't running that place anymore. He's not handing out these retroactive contracts to aging pitchers for past services rendered. It's about getting younger, and it's about building a team that's going to compete, let's be real, like a couple of years from now. And I don't see Madison Bumgarner being part of that group, the same way I don't see Crawford, Belt, Posey. Those guys had their time. Yeah. They won their championships. Yeah. That was great. If this team's ever going to get serious about winning again, handing out a contract to an aging pitcher just because he helped you win some World Series half a decade ago, probably not the best course of action.
No, see, I disagree with that, because you're giving him a contract because he could still be a 3 or 2 starter in your rotation. And also, he brings value to the clubhouse. You can't just have Drew Pomerantz teaching these young guys how to be big leaguers when he's a fringe big leaguer himself. We've talked about ad nauseum, Kane, Lincecum, Johnny Sanchez. They learned from Randy Johnson. They learned from a guy that they brought in at the back end of his career so he could get his 300th win, and he taught them how to train day in and day out. And there is a value there. And Madison Bumgarner is a better player at this point in his career than Randy Johnson was at the end of his career. And yes, there's a price tag on everything. Farhan gave out, him and Friedman, gave Kershaw a $100 million 4-year deal. Now, Kershaw looks pretty damn good this year.
Yeah. What do you do with Johnny Cueto?
Hope and pray that he comes back and he's a front end rotation guy. Johnny Cueto, when engaged and when he's locked in and the team around him is actually in contention, Johnny Cueto is a very good pitcher. He's a 2 or 3. Right now, there is no 2 or 3 or even ace on this staff. Like, they got a bunch of 4s and 5s. Beattie's a 4 or 5. Pomerantz is a 4 or 5. Like, that's what they're stuck with. Sean Anderson, hopefully one day, can be a 3. But really, he's like a 4 or 5 right now. You got to prove it year after year. And that's why you're dealing from a place of no value. You don't have a lot in the system. You don't have a lot on your regular team right now. Why would you give up an asset and get something back that's not going to help you? See, that's the thought process. That'd be like selling a home and then acquiring an RV. Why do I want the RV? I need a home to live in.
Well, I think there needs to be some trust in Farhan's evaluation process as well, and that he's going to find the right talent. Otherwise, what's the point of bringing him here? And
don't you think he's been on the phone?
Well, of course.
And you know what he's been hearing on the other phone? Probably not a lot of interest from other GMs as far as deals that he thinks would be enough in return to deal Madison Bumgarner. I think what he's banking on is, as we get closer to the deadline and as teams
get a little
more desperate, then he can drive up that bidding war and hopefully get something. I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to get moved, but I just feel like Farhan's hoping against hope maybe that he's going to get a better deal than he's been offered so far.
They should have traded him 2 years ago.
I agree with that.
The window has come and gone. The ROI, the return on investment, is shot. You're getting a depreciating asset back in return. That's not going to help you. And so there's no point in getting rid of a player as good as Bumgarner, who can still be a contributor on your 25-man roster, to just get rid of him just to appease some desire of getting rid of Bumgarner. Say, hey, see, we're all in on rebuilding. Why can't you keep one pitcher and still trade all the bullpen guys that can actually get you something back? Will Smith, Maranta, Sam Dyson, those guys are much cheaper for teams to acquire. And I actually think you can get something back for those guys, because bullpen is very valuable now in today's Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and we get to see it, though. Sometimes it doesn't merit at the end. Doesn't really work, you know, with great consistency. Ryan, where are you at on? Would you just if you're Farhan right now, and you're in this situation, what do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm trading Madison Bumgarner, but first I'm listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco Radio.com sports station. After that, I'm trading Madison Bumgarner. I wholeheartedly agree with Butch. I said this last year around the trade deadline when it was painfully obvious the Giants weren't going anywhere. Trade Madison Bumgarner now. That way you trade him to a contender with 2 years of control. That way you get Madison Bumgarner for two postseasons. It's not astrophysics to realize that you're going to get more of a return on investment when you get Madison Bumgarner for two postseasons as opposed to one. Now they're over the barrel a bit. That's Bobby Evans' fault, not Farhan's fault, and now he's in damage control. I think what's most important for the Giants to be competitive as quickly as possible, which is the ultimate goal, you need to acquire any kind of prospect you can, and I'm talking for Will Smith, Sam Dyson, Tony Watson, whoever wants to acquire anybody in your bullpen, Madison Bumgarner, Pablo Sandoval, Kevin Pillar, whoever you're trading, I want to get some young assets that aren't single-A players or just drafted last year. I want some guys that I can pair up on the same career track that hopefully Elliot Ramos is on and Joey Bart, that they can all kind of break into the bigs right around the same time, so you can have something real tangible to look forward to in, what, not next season, but maybe the following season as you go into 2020, 2021, for that season, for there to be a bevy of young players, so that way when you maybe miss on one or two, you've got four or five guys that you feel good about, not just, hey, we're hinging all our hopes on Joey Bart and Elliot Ramos. Something happens to one of those guys, which, by the way, Bart already got hurt earlier this year. Something happens to one of those guys, where are you at? The more the merrier. It's a numbers game when you're dealing with prospects. So get as much as you can and get real about where this organization's at right now.
Well,
you got to ask yourself,
right,
is Brandon Crawford going to be here when this team starts winning again? Is he going to be part of the solution? Nope. You got to find a way to move him then. Same thing, dare I say, same thing Buster Posey. And I realize these guys don't have any value, but you know where they really don't have any value? In your lineup card every day, because they're not helping you win baseball games, which is the name of the game.
Right. So when you're saying that, you look at Tyler Beebe, you look at Jeff Samardzija, the guys are there. How many of these guys have more value than Madison Bumgarner? So are we just trying to trade him just to be traded?
That's what I'm saying.
So what you're in a situation where if you're talking about if it's a total rebuild, so you're saying get rid of anyone who has value. So if Madison doesn't necessarily have more value than some of the backups, so you just say, okay, sign him to a team friendly deal. Do you do that, or do you wait till after offseason? Because right now, the phone's not ringing.
We don't know that. Well, and here's the other thing: if you're going to trade some of these relievers, which is a great idea, they're all under relatively cheap team control. Can I staple a Brandon Crawford, contract onto one of those deals?
No.
Why not? Why can't part of the deal? Why can't you do what the Red Sox did? The Red Sox gave Pablo Sandoval $80 million to say, just go away. Just go away. Since when are the Giants strapped for cash?
Right.
You're printing money for the last decade. You're finally one of the upper echelon Major League Baseball teams when it comes to revenue. You got a $400 million check from Oracle to slap their name on that ballpark. Like,
who would you eat?
What?
So what salary?
Brandon Belt, right out of the gate, open up first base, so I can bring in Chris Shaw, so I can bring in this kid Green, who's down in AAA, so I can see Joey Bart, so I can put Posey at first base sometime. Open up first base. That's the easiest.
Okay, so Brandon Belt is the first solution thing you're doing. If you're GM, Brandon Belt, you're eating the salary and saying bye-bye.
I'm eating parts of his salary, and I'm stapling him to whatever deal is out there for Maranta, for Sam Dyson, for Will Smith, so that I can kill two birds with one stone. Open up a position, get rid of somebody who's anchoring down. down this team like the Titanic and open up a spot so we can see some of these young guys.
So you do that, and now you bring up Joey Bart. You bring up some of these guys that are not ready, and all of a sudden now you break them. Is that what you want to say?
Low.
I don't know. I'm asking.
Low, this isn't 1986. The young players are dominating baseball. Juan Soto was 19 years old last year. Acuna, 20 years old. Like, is Joey Bart at 22 so mentally fragile coming out of the ACC, that he's going to come up and he's going to struggle and he's forever finished? If that's the case, then he's not a good enough player to begin with. Like, I need to know one way or the other.
Right.
Dude,
right.
By the time Joey Bart comes up, Bryce Harper, Acuna, all the great players, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., will have 4 or 5 years of Major League Baseball service. This guy's not coming from a foreign country, learning the English language, learning the culture. He's an American guy. He can come in and play, and if he's not that great, so what? I'd rather see him struggle at 200 than Stephen Vogt, who's 36 and not helping this team.
I believe in Stephen Vogt.
I don't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if I want to go last place in the National League.
Although he was safe at third. All right, we got some breaking news to get to, guys. And, boy, if this this old story doesn't keep poking its head up, I don't know what will. Warriors, this is per ESPN and Brian Windhorst. The Golden State Warriors had to add a first-round pick to that side and trade with the Nets, with KD and D'Angelo Russell, because KD, quote, balked at the idea of being...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.